You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Bradley's just realized that and feels bad now.
You'll stay another week, Tomo. You'll stay another week.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Clash of the Correspondents. My name's James, and this week I'm joined by two of our correspondents who are going to recommend absolutely nobody for your FPL teams this week, but we're going to have a laugh recording this one. Firstly, let me introduce you to Bradley Parker at Parker_Bradley on Twitter, our Wolverhampton Wanderers correspondent. How are you, Bradley?
I'm all right. I'll say I'm all right.
We're all depressed, I think, at the moment. And Ben Tomo Thompson at FPL Blade, our Sheffield United correspondent. How are you, Tomo?
Even more depressed.
It's going to be good, this, isn't it? Right, Bradley. So last week you told everyone not to buy any Wolves defensive assets, and then you went and kept a clean sheet at Fulham ahead of this brilliant run of five fixtures. We're about to head into game two of five. Are you going to change anyone's minds, or is your advice still just completely avoid?
The fact it's Sheffield United, maybe a clean sheet there, but it wasn't by design against Fulham they kept the clean sheet, because they were forced to change. I think if they played a back four, I've tweeted you about it, if they played a back four for 90 minutes, I couldn't have seen a clean sheet because it was shaky to start the match.
Is it as simple as that in terms of the formation is quite important? Because in Sky Fantasy, I bought Patricio when you played Liverpool, not for the Liverpool game, but for kind of this prolonged run of fixtures. And as soon as I saw the back four against West Ham, I was like, oh, shit, they've gone back to that. Oh, no. Is it a case, do you think, obviously, Podence came back for the West Ham game and it went back to a back four. Then obviously, you really unfortunately lost Neto on Friday night against Fulham. Is it a case of you haven't got enough attacking players, therefore it's probably now going to stick with the back three / back five again?
I think so. I think he's just got to go for the safety first option. We just have zero personnel for a back four, which is bizarre that we sometimes even attempt to play it.
Why is that? Why is it so different? And why have you looked so, I guess, un-Wolves-like when you've played a back four? Because I think going into pre-season, most of us would have looked at it and gone, you got a difficult run of fixtures at the start, but throughout this season, Wolves will be in probably the top six again for defensive goals conceded and stuff, and it's been well off it, really.
When we play a back four, Cody's only, like I've said to you many times now, Cody's only good as a sweeper, and you see him exposed a lot more, like against West Ham. Just basically invisible. Safe joined the club as a midfielder. So really, he's just like, in essence, a Connor Cody. He's only going to work in a back four. I mean, back three. Willie Bolly's the only one that we've had that can play in a back four. But then he's carrying the rest of the defence, because we've played with wing backs that are only ever used to playing in the back three. I mean, Johnny can play in the back four, but we've not had Johnny for most of the season.
Has he done ACL again, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm really scared for him to come back.
Two in quick succession. I mean, he wouldn't be the first player to come back from two similar injuries like that, but two quit in such quick succession. What was he back for, like 6-7 games or so?
Yeah, and he made a big difference as well.
Is it the same knee, do you know?
I'm not sure. I hope it's not, because if it is, that's even worse than doing the other one.
is that an impact as well? Because I think of like Johnny and Semedo as wingbacks. That kind of works in that system. Is it more difficult with, say, Aitnori as a wingback?
Aitnori in a back four is probably more difficult because he's really? Quite okay. nice. Yeah, he's still not physically developed, which is understandable, but he's naive defensively still. He's decent going on the ball and going forward, but you can still tell he's very, very naive at this level.
What Wolves assets have you got at the moment, Bradley?
Zero.
Are you intending to add any?
No. I nearly thought about punting on Silver last week, but I knew in my heart of hearts he'd bench him, so I just left him.
We'll come back onto the front pairings in a little bit. Tomo, have you got any Wolves players at the moment?
No.
any intention of adding any with the fixture coming at the weekend?
No. I'm not. I mean, that's... Maybe Silver is a cheap for a striker, but not with the way my team's built right now. But
what's your feeling on Wolves, though? Because you've obviously had three, I think it's fair to say, very close games with them. It was 1-1 at Molineux last year. You probably should have won, actually, Tomo, from memory. You won the game very late in the restart period when John Egan scored at the death. And obviously in the game, which was the opening day of the season? I think it was, wasn't it? Wolves obviously scored two really early goals, which I believe are probably Wolves' only two goals in first halves of games this season.
The season peaked then.
it peaked then in the first 10 minutes at Bramall Lane. So you've been very competitive with them in games in the past. What's your thoughts on them in terms of, did you expect them to have the dip that they've had this year?
Not really. I expect them to take a little dip, but not as big as they are. But I just think Jimenez is just so vital to the way that they play. I mean, he's key to the way that Wolves play. From what I've seen in that first game, he scored an amazing goal against us. He's just quality. So I feel like he's the key missing piece. I think it'd be a total different season if he was still fit and playing every game. With Neto and Podem, so Traore inside of him, I think that's just pretty scary for him. But I think that's just really the key for them.
See, isn't it, Bradley? Even without Jimenez, we've got some good attacking players, haven't you?
Yeah, the players that they've got at the top, we should be doing a lot better still, even without Raul. I've said that for a lot of the season. I feel like it's been a bit of an excuse. I know Raul is top draw, but some of our, how we play and the performances aren't up to the standard of the actual players. And I'm getting a bit fed up of like some Wolves fans. They always say like, oh, well, we used to be in League One in the Championship, so it's all right. Well, it's not all right now because we're holding to a different standard. So I don't know how you can hold these players to a standard of Championship in League One. I think that's quite a small-time mentality.
I guess Thomas obviously lived through this year in terms of you get season one and then Thomas won't be the first team that's done well season one and then gone down in season two. We've seen it happen with like Reading, Ipswich. We've seen it happen with other teams in the past. I think because your season two, Bradley, was so consistent again, you finished seventh both times, I want to say, maybe. Yeah. Then there was an expectation, right, well that's consistency, right? You'll stay there. Is it as simple as what Thomas saying in a way that, I mean, you asked me on one of the Patreon pods we did recently if anyone was more reliant on a single player than Grealish and Villa, I think. And I said to you, well, what about your team and Jimenez? Because it does feel a bit like that, mate.
It does feel a bit like that. But I think we can edge out games maybe, whereas Villa maybe not win as much.
They're above you in the league, mate.
Yeah, because of Grealish getting all them points.
Well, really. Yes, I suppose. If you had to buy one defensively, Bradley, because there will be people who want to know and will be looking to go in, particularly off the back of a clean sheet last week, where would you advise to go?
You know, I'd usually say Connor Cody, but to be differential, I'll say Ray and Aitnori.
Aitnori is five, I believe. Yeah. I guess he's a lock at left back / left wing back at the moment, is he?
Yeah, Johnny's dead and Mark Alice is as good as dead, so... The only player.
What's the story with him, Mark Al? Because that's what people want to know. Is he likely back before the end of the season?
No, he's got no return date at all. He's just dead.
It's harsh.
I don't even register him as a footballer for Wolves, honestly.
What about Semedo? Just too expensive?
Too expensive. I saw FPL like put out an official tweet saying, like, he's created the most in our defence, and it was like 16 chances. And I thought, well, that ain't great, really, overall, in our defence. Probably like, what, one a game. His crossing's too poor.
Points per game, Semedo's at 3. 8 Nouri at 2.8. Although I think that's influenced a bit by probably a few more substitute appearances, I'd say, for Nouri, probably.
Semedo's played pretty much every match since he's gone.
Cody, 3.1 points per match. Roman Saiz, 4. Isn't Saiz, with his goal-scoring potential, many of us have seen him blaze a free kick even over the bar against Fulham. He hit it.
I've seen him do that too many times. He has like one of season where he goes through, never goes nowhere near.
But he was one who really stood out towards the back end of last season in terms of being high for expected goals from corners and stuff.
Yeah, he's decent, yeah.
Is he worth paying the little bit more than Cody, or are you just better off going with the security of that, do you think?
Probably worth it for the goals. Because, to be honest, I can't see him not playing now. I think it's just going to be Bolly, Cody safe. Because Bolly's
You think Bolly will come back in?
He's got to come back in. He's got to come back in. Because we're absolutely desolate at the back with AC.
What's been his problem, Bolly?
Getting loads of niggles this season. He come back with COVID like Eric Bailly. I don't know why I didn't think about that. When I heard Eric Bailly had COVID, I thought, I didn't even register that Bolly was in international duty with him. But he's back. But now Neves has got it. So no, we've lost another one.
And if Bolly was to come back in and it's a back four, is that Saiz that misses out?
That's
the problem. That's what. And obviously Saiz could play left back as well, couldn't he? I think that's why for those who want to invest, that's probably why many will just end up going Cody and the security that starts.
Yeah, particularly
when you want the definite coverage for 33 when you play Burnley, when obviously there's four teams who blank. Tomo, Sheffield United, on my fixture ticker between now and the end of the season, I think only Arsenal and Liverpool have better fixtures than yourselves. Is there anyone that could make a surprise FPL shout for us? Because we've seen this before. We know we don't have to hide the fact that we know you're going to go down and stuff. We've seen teams who've gone down the past and then suddenly it's like the freedom's lifted. They play with a little bit more freedom. Is there anyone from Sheffield United that we could be considering, perhaps even for wildcard as a bench option going forward for the rest of the season?
Absolutely nobody.
Good lad.
Is bad, hard to watch.
Has it got worse since Wilder left?
It's the same, which is even worse. Just much of the same formation, same players. We're not even changing it up. But why are we playing three centre halves when we don't have two centre halves fit? At the weekend, we played Egan, which was bad, which was great. We played Ampadu, who was a midfielder at centre half. We played Stevens at left centre half. Right? Why are we playing that? We haven't had a midfielder on the bench in 14 games, I think it is now. May that sink in. So we played Norwood, Fleck and Lundstrom, right? We don't have another midfielder. So the midfielders to play.
You're affected a little bit there, though, by like Sander Berg's injury, aren't you?
Yeah. And it's all injuries, right? But in the same point in time, why continue playing overlapping centre-backs? We don't have overlapping centre-backs. Why continue playing same midfield three when we get overrun every game? Why not change it up? What's Higginbottom got to lose? You know, he needs to change him up. Brewster's not even starting. He paid $25 million.
Well, I don't understand that. When we last spoke, when we did the pod after Wilder left, I said to you, surely there's got to be some forward thinking towards next season now and play Brewster every week, surely. You just accept the fate and get him ready for next season.
Yeah. We just need to play McBurnie and Brewster if that's what it's going to be, unless he goes to Wolves, which will be fantastic. But we got to play him, right? We've got to play the young players, right? We've got a great under-23 team to fly in. We've got all these good, young, exciting players. Why not put them on the bench? Why not give them 15, 20 minutes, right? Eckenbaum's under-23 manager. I don't understand why we're not doing it. And we're playing the same players over and over and over. It's very frustrating.
I'd have to bring Bradley into that conversation briefly, because you did mention something I want to bring up. That's the fact that Wolves have been linked with Brian Ollie McBurnie. Do you want to share your opinion on that, Brad?
if that happens, it's time to give up.
Is he better than William Jose?
No, than both statues.
I can tell he might you, move it. I can tell you from experience, everyone's better than Jose, by the way. Tomo, I can give you some free good Sheffield United FPL assets, genuinely. I'm going to take you through them now. Kean Bryan, 3.9 million defender.
If he plays.
Well, no, you don't want him to play, do you? Just sits his last sub. Oliver Burks, 4.1 midfielder. It's got to be cheapest. He's cheapest in the game. And you've got Brewster up front at 4.3. But now, in seriousness, McGoldrick at 5.2. You could do worse, couldn't you?
Yeah. McGoldrick's been probably our most consistent player all season. Probably our player of the season right now. He's played well. He's got a decent return. I saw somewhere that number one in the world in FPL has had McGoldrick 9 game weeks this year. I thought it was quite interesting.
Wow.
That's now how we, you win FPL.
Yeah, that's how you win FPL. We now know what we're doing wrong. But seriously, Tomo, look at these fixtures. Wolves, Brighton, Palace, Newcastle, Burnley are 5 of the 7 games you've got left. They're all in the bottom 8 or so, I think. Where are you at the moment, Bradley? 11th, 12th? 12th, I want to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, somewhere like that.
12th, yeah, 14th, somewhere you're not bothered about, yeah. And your two difficult games on paper, Tomo, Tottenham and Everton, who I can promise you, they're not the hardest games teams have got left, right? So you've got a good final 7 fixtures. Is there even a case for something defensively in any way? Or is it just so broken that you think, yeah, it's 7 good fixtures, but it's probably 7 defeats?
It's going to be 7 defeats.
Wow.
It's that bad. This team is worse than the team that got promoted from the Championship. And it might be worse than the team that got promoted from League One right now that we're starting.
Jeez, really? That far?
Yeah, that far.
Do you think in hindsight, because we've spoken with you about a lot about O'Connell's obviously been a huge miss for you.
Yeah.
Do you think going back, if you'd have had O'Connell, Basham and Egan together all season, it would have made any difference? Or is it just everything in front of that, i.e. in the midfield with Norwood and stuff, has just regressed so much that it wouldn't have made that much of a difference?
If we had O'Connell, Egan and Basham, we'd be competing to stay up. We'd be in that 18, 17 spot, in my opinion. The biggest problem this year has been midfield. Right? I can't blame the strikers. They don't get enough chances. That midfield has dropped dramatically. Burge has been out most of the season. There's no athleticism or energy or, you know, grit. There's nothing, right? And we could talk about Lundstrom if you want to, but he's just taking a paycheck at the moment, unfortunately. So, and Norwood's legs have gone. And Flex had a 4-game good spell in the middle of the season, and that's about it. So it's at the weekend, it's abysmal. So,
yeah, it's gone back to your mate from the Highlands, isn't it? Jimmy Flex coming to replace him again, isn't he?
Jimmy Flex.
One of my favourite quotes of the season, that from Chris Wilder, when he said Jimmy Fleck had impersonated him this year. Absolutely brilliant. I do want to talk about the managers a bit, guys. I think we can kind of leave the FPL stuff there, really. Other than, just quickly, Bradley, Adama Traore, I'd say 6 million. First goal since 2019 at the weekend. I see a few are interested.
If you've got a luxury transfer and you need to go for it, go for it. That's all. I want, if you're like serious, I wouldn't do it. But if you're having a laugh,
Jared Bowen, 0.1 million cheaper than Traore.
Get Bowen then.
Well, that's the answer, isn't it? Surely. Yeah that's what I would have thought. Okay. I do want to talk about the managers, guys. We'll start with you, Tomo, because as already said, we did a podcast shortly after Wilder left, and it was a bit unknown at the time whether it really was mutual consent. Had he been sacked? Had he walked? The Prince Abdullah gave a very interesting interview, I think I want to say, to Sky a couple of weeks afterwards. Do you want to go into some of the detail on that and what your thoughts are in reaction to it?
Yeah, so I think when we had the chat, I think what I was saying was pretty much on the lines of what the Prince said for the most part. We did discuss mostly about the director of football, that was the key factor. But when the Prince came out, he said that wasn't the case, that he was just asking Wilder to have 4 or 5 targets to go after and have the flexibility to get one of those 4 or 5 targets. Right. And my understanding is that Wilder resigned after the Crystal Palace game in December. originally, and then I know there was some unknown for a few days. And then January he came back and asked for three loans. I think Lingard was one of them and a couple others. And the board kicked back and said, we're already relegated, so we're not going to pay those wages. And that was the straw that beat the camel's back and Wilder walked. So I think there's a truce to both sides. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I felt like the interview with the Prince, it was scripted a little bit. The questions are very softball questions for him, but I like what he did. He came out and said, I mean, how many owners come out and just says it as it is from his side? So, you know, but there is a big, there is a contingency of, you know, Wilder supporters basically who backing Wilder the whole way and saying it's all down to the Prince, which I'm more towards the Prince side, to be totally honest.
So there's a split basically amongst the fan base in terms of what's believed and what's not. Correct. My first kind of reaction was everything that the Prince said, did you believe it all?
I believed most of it. I think there's some that you take a pinch of salt a little bit that he's, you know, leaning one way to the other, but I don't really feel like he threw Wilder under the bus too much. You know, he wanted him to stay. I mean, he gave him the contract. He did not accept his resignation and he wanted him to stay. But end of the day, you know, we have to be careful with finances, especially through COVID. We can't afford to be paying people. Lingard's got to be on what, 80, 90,000 a week? Well, I don't know, maybe more than 100,000 a week at West Ham. Why are we going to pay for these players when we're already pretty much down in January? So I think he has to protect the club first. And I think the one thing that he said about Wilder negatively was his recruiting policy and that he was only shopping in the English market and refused to shop in the European market, and his lack of flexibility in that way. And there was a rumor came out that we actually got offered Suchek before West Ham, yeah, and we turned it down. Wilder didn't want him. And we actually signed a guy called Koudibaly from one of the Belgian feeder clubs we have. He's playing there right now. I think it was like 1 or 2 million, and Wilder didn't know about it. And apparently Wilder freaked out on the Prince and said he wasn't, you know, he didn't approve it. And so I think that was another thing. But yeah, overall, I kind of lean to the Prince, not taking anything away from Wilder what he did. I just think it was time mutually break up, you know, between both the club and Wilder at the point, unfortunately.
Who signed Sander Berge then?
Wilder. So I think that was the one player outside the group that he's talking about.
It's your biggest signing, isn't it? So
yeah.
That was the kind of question to throw back was it Wilder's signing? You're saying yeah. So, I mean, it's proof there. You can argue whether it was or wasn't worth the money. Arguably, the answer is no. But that's an example of him shopping outside Britain, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the only one, I believe. But yeah, good. I mean, it's a good point. But...
And let's be honest, coming through the divisions, I'm presuming that the majority of your signings came through the British market and obviously served you very well. It wasn't like you went and took cheap options from, I don't know, Belgium's, Holland's, Scandinavian nations to try and help you get through the leagues. There was a clear British/Irish core to get you through those leagues and get you up.
Yeah.
And so why change what's worked so well? I can understand that looking back to pre-season. Like we'd spoken about salary concerns about a number of players perhaps being on non-Premier League wages. And if you brought someone in like a Lingard, for example, on 100 grand a week, and he's instantly earning 90 grand more than some of his teammates, it's going to upset a few people, isn't it? So I think it was a really difficult balancing act. One of the things I believed the Prince said, and do tell me if I'm quoting this wrong, was that Wilder had asked for 4 million payoff.
Yeah. So he resigned.
Do you believe that?
I don't know. He resigned and asked for 4 million, but I don't know if that figure is accurate or not, but it obviously asked for something because it took a while for him to get, you know, paid out. It dragged on for a few days. So
it seems essentially like Wilder was there, but not there for the last 2-3 months. And what I mean by that is I don't mean he wasn't there as in he wasn't managing the team properly or anything like that. What I mean is it was an inevitability that this was going to happen. And it was just passing off the time basically till there was some form of shaking hands and okay, let's part ways. Wilder, we've not, I believe, heard back from, but I'm guessing he's probably censored, isn't he?
Yeah, he's had an NDA apparently. But one thing I wanted to bring up too is Wilder was on double salary than any of our players. 80 grand a week is what apparently he was on.
I think managers should be on more money than players in the majority of cases, other than in my team's case. I wish he wasn't on any money. And that's the problem, by the way. That's the reason he's still in a job, is because he's on more money than everybody else. But I think generally speaking, that's how it should be. Just from a simple commanding respect position, I think the manager should be the highest paid person at the club, bar chairman and stuff like that.
It's just sad, James. It's just sad.
I get it, mate. I get it. And I think the biggest frustration I feel from Blades fans I see tweeting and stuff is that the general feeling was that to come back, Wilder was obviously the best opportunity. And it feels like it might suck you down to the lower ends of the championship. I don't think anybody's fearing a drop down to League One, because I think in hindsight, the fact that you've probably been prudent financially with money will probably be beneficial. Look at the teams who went down last year and how well they've, you know, Norwich and Watford look like they're going to come straight back up, for example. That's the frustration. Have you heard anything on the manager front in terms of, I presume, Eckhart is not going to get it full time?
No, I mean, Blessing was linked. But I saw he signed a 1-year extension with the club in Belgium. It's kind of gone quiet. I mean, I don't really pay too much attention to what the Sun and a few newspapers have to say. You know, everyone just gets thrown out there.
You shouldn't pay them any attention, mate.
So, but I think it'll be a foreign manager. I really do.
Why?
I think he just needs to change the scenery. It needs to be freshened up. We need something new to come in. And it's going to be, I'm really hoping we can get a couple of results. It's a win or two before the end of the season, because it's going to be like 18 months of losing games, game week after week. It's going to be hard to shake that. I think early in the championship next year, it's going to be huge for us to pick up a few wins early doors, because I think it's tough to break that losing mentality. I really do.
Bradley, has there been an issue with your manager this year?
Yeah, some. I'd probably say so, yeah.
He's got to take a lot of the responsibility for what this season's been, isn't it?
I think he's got to take responsibility for how we start a lot of the games. He says,
People just look at that on the outside like dumbfounded, like we know it'd be a different Wolves team in the second half. Every week. It's been going on for years.
It's got to come from the manager. I mean, they all come out and say, like, we don't intend to start that way, but I can't believe that when it happens every week.
No, it's gone on for too long. It's not a 2-3 month spell. It's like a two-year spell.
It's got to come from the manager. I think the players go out there and go, oh, we'll just
defensive first in structure, do you think?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine with me, like the first two seasons, when we clearly had the intention that we are ready to pounce and attack at the right time. But now we just look like a dead fish.
Is that? Because I know obviously you've lost Neto, I guess probably been your player of the year. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
Who's still young. You've still got Traore, who I know the attacking returns haven't been there this year, but suddenly goal and assist in the last two. He's obviously incredibly explosive. It's not like you don't have good counter-attacking players who can be direct. Podence is a lovely little footballer as well. So why has it changed so much?
I think he's it's kind of like how Paul Lambert was at Wolves in the end, kind of like didn't want to lose but not brave enough to win, and that always sets you up to lose in the end.
Do you think when we saw the back four at Arsenal, what was obviously the game Jimenez got injured, what was the intention there? Do you think that was intended as a one-off? Because I think you had a game against Southampton before when Cody didn't play and you played it. And we thought, oh, it's a one-off because of Cody. But then you obviously played that day with Cody and obviously have done in games since. Was that something that was designed to get something out of that four together? Traore, Podence, Neto and Jimenez. Was that the thinking behind it? And then why it's changed kind of on and off since?
Yeah, it was reported at the start of the season that Nuno wanted to change into a back four. Because at the end of the Sevilla match when we lost in the Europa League, he kind of did make a comment there which makes sense about we only had like 28% possession of the ball. And he said to move forward as a club and a team, we need to obviously change that philosophy and get players to dominate the ball. mistake in the summer, they changed without having to try, without even recruiting players that can play in that system and recruiting basically children who aren't going to be ready to play every single week. And then when we get stuck and nothing's changing, you don't lean on them to try and see what they've got. So he's just picking his old players.
Talk about some of these kids then, if you can, Brad, because I know that there's a few of them you'd like to see in the team, really.
Yeah, which ones do you want?
start with a boy up front.
Silva. He should start every game there to the end of the season. We've invested in his confidence is coming now. These last two, so you can tell. I mean, he's got good movement. Jose doesn't move like you've seen. I mean, the way he took his goal against West Ham, angled run, touch, yeah, clean finish. Jose would never even attempt to do that.
Can I tell you who that finish reminded me of against West Ham?
Go on.
Kane. Honestly.
I think people are just obsessed with his price tag, expecting this wonder child. But, like, I mean, when we signed at the start of the season, I didn't really expect that much from him, just to come off the bench and grow with the club. But to be honest, with him being thrown in the deep end, he's done quite well. You know,
you spent an awful lot of money on him, didn't you?
Yeah. It's potential in him. But I can see potential in him. The way he took his goal against West Brom as well, the way he rolled his body and calmly took to him. Most 18-year-olds would never do that. They just lash the ball.
So why do you think you went and got Jose, who I know, by the way, is a player that Tottenham were looking at last summer as well. It's ironic, isn't it? As a potential backup for Harry Kane himself. Why did he get him in rather than just going, well, Traore can play through the middle, can't he? And it wasn't a not to lose. I know you were at a point where you were like looking over your shoulder a little bit. It was never really a worry of relegation or anything. Didn't it just get to the point where you'd had bad form and it just feels like you were better off prepping, the same as for Tomo's team, begin prepping for next season to make things better. And it feels like both of you missed opportunities to do that this season.
Yeah, definitely. I think we just needed a physical presence at that time. And Jose's first three games, he was okay offering that, but now he don't offer nothing. And I think Silva's kind of took that as his chance to like show when he can do when he comes on. Because he's actually decent in the air. It's just physicality with backing into defenders and stuff like that. But that'll come with time. His ability, I think, is pretty good through his age.
And I know you like Vitinha as well.
Yeah, Vitinha.
What can you tell people about him?
Creative midfielder that takes the ball on the half turn and in positions when he's in trouble. Unlike most of our midfielders, like Den Donk, who absolutely had a terrible season. You can't pass to him ever.
He's off the ball runner when he plays in midfield, isn't he? He does the running that Neves and Moutinho can't.
Moutinho sees the passes before he's received the ball. He's already got an idea of what he's doing. Like when I was watching the Portugal under-23s recently, he won the player of the group stage in the tournament. And he's just like watching him, you're thinking, this bloke is levels above some of the others.
So why is he not in the team?
I don't know. Maybe it's because he takes risks.
So on the face of it, I think of like a 4-2-3-1. And I think that can work for Neves and Moutinho together, can't it? Because we associate him as good footballers.
Yeah.
So why does that not work?
What worked now? Maybe Moutinho's I don't think Moutinho's been as consistent, which probably doesn't help. But he's getting old.
Yeah,
he's getting older. But on his day, he's still fantastic. But
then if you want to be a more possession-based team, don't you feel the team with more possession? Well, yeah. And I just think in the case of a 4-2-3-1, you don't need your two midfielders to be kind of going box-to-box and stuff like that. Moutinho and Neves, go and take the ball off the back four, get the other four high. It would also allow you to get your full-backs high in that system. I just feel like it would work, but whenever I've seen it, it doesn't work. And I feel like Nuno's often reluctant to play him together because I think he's worried about off-the-ball movement from clever tens and things like that. He's worried about... Because I think he switched on to defensive first. He can't get away from that first fault. And I think, like you said, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a bad thing, but I'd just like to see that tried personally, properly. Yeah.
We need to find two very good centre-backs in the summer. That's the big priority. If he wants to really play the back four, he needs to have two good centre-backs that I'm comfortable defending one-on-one.
Would Cody be in the England squad for you?
Maybe if we will switch to a back three at one point, but I don't see a back three for England as a way forward anyway.
Is his performances gone backwards this season, ironically, since the England call-up?
Yeah, he's not been as good this season, but he doesn't get called out for it as much.
No, I know, because he's worn the England shirt now. He's held in high regard. Yeah, I agree. I don't see... I think a year or two ago, I think there was a lot of clubs possibly would have been looking at him, and I'm not sure they would be now. I mean, at Tottenham, I'd take anybody centre-back. I mean, Cody and O'Connell, where do I sign, would be great. But I don't see actually where anybody would be looking at Cody, which brings me on to something else I'm going to ask you, Bradley. It was a report I saw last week about there might not be funds available this summer in the transfer market. And it was a suggestion that your three prized assets, Neves, Traore and Neto, would potentially all be available for sale at the right price. Now, Neto, unfortunately, bless him, is probably going to struggle to play next season. But has that kind of made any noises in the Wolves community or anything?
A lot of disgruntlement, if it's true. This summer is the biggest one to tell us, are the owners serious about the football club? If nothing happens this summer or things aren't addressed, then I'll know the championship is bound again, not that far away.
Really?
Yeah, because if you stand still, you go backwards.
What do they need to do then? Is it a case of, right, there's 100 million, or what is it specifically?
Sign two centre-backs is a big one.
You've got three better centre-backs than anything I've got at Tottenham, mate.
Not in a back four.
Maybe not.
We need two strong centre-backs. We need a box-to-box midfielder. And I'd sign Vitinha permanently.
Is it only a loan, is it?
Yeah, there is. The Portugal press seem pretty convinced it's already a done deal, which has made it even more bizarre that they're not even trying him.
Well, you just buy a Portuguese player anyway, don't you?
Yeah, another one's been linked this week, Goncalo Guedes from Valencia.
Listen, if this season peters out into nothing, mate, you've still got the European Championships you can win in the summer, mate. Don't worry about
I know,
that.
I've got two teams to watch.
Tomo, if Newcastle win, or in fact, if Newcastle avoid defeat Saturday lunchtime against West Ham, defeat on Saturday and it's over, you will officially actually be relegated. Oh. Bradley's just realised that and feels bad now.
You'll stay another week, Tomo. 100%. No, that's happening.
Is this going to be? Is this Tomo? Is this podcast the My Team's Worse Than Your Team podcast?
I don't think anyone's worse than my team. I'll put it out. I think it's close at the moment.
What do you seriously hope for next season? Or can you not even kind of visualise that without an identity or understanding of what the manager's going to be at the moment?
Just to win a game. That might be nice. Realistically, I think top six next season playoffs right now as we stand. I still think if we keep majority of the squad, I think Burge is definitely going to go. I don't think many of us will go. Obviously, Lundstrom's going to leave. We're going to bring some of the young guys through, the young players we have. If we start the season with McBurney and Brewster in the championship, I think they'll score goals in the championship.
I agree with
that. They've both proven they already have. So I want to see them play together for the rest of the season now. That's all I really want to see, them two playing next to each other. McGoldrick behind.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. McGoldrick behind, right? And then just play a flat or two in midfield.
Correct. And maybe that'll allow us to do that when Basham comes back. We can maybe push Ampadu into midfield, or Osborne or someone else, just to change it up and maybe play some of the young lads. But I just want us to do something different. And this is not just we hacking bombing. This goes back with Wilder too. I know we haven't really discussed that, but tactically, Wilder never changed it. We should have been changing this back in November, October, November time. Once the players fell out, we need to change system. I think top six, as we stand right now, I think looking at the championship, and I've watched quite a few games last few weeks, I feel like the teams I get come down with the parachute payments have a bigger advantage now than they ever have.
Absolutely.
So, and I think if, Norwich and Watford are pretty much up, I think Bournemouth's got a good chance in the playoffs. you know, I think that's going to be similar again next season for the teams that go down.
Yeah, let's say it was yourselves, West Brom and Fulham, the three that are in there at the moment. I think we'd probably expect all three of you to do all right next year. And one of the major benefits for yourself, I think a little bit like what Norwich experienced this year, is in case of Norwich did have some sellable assets in the likes of Buendia and Aarons, and obviously did lose a couple like Godfrey and Jamal Lewis and that. But it kept the majority of the squad together. And I think that's going to be the same case for you. And possibly for West Brom as well, that for the two of you, I don't think there'd be much investment to actually look to buy from your players from still Premier League clubs. I mean, we joked about Wolves buying McBurnie, for example, but a club like Wolves probably isn't going to look elsewhere for your squad, I don't think, for a player.
No.
I mean, would you want one of Tomo's centre-halves, Bradley?
No, because I think they look like they're stuck in the back three mould as well. And if we're shifting away...
Phil Jagielka has been our best player. One of our best players.
It's going to be amazing Saturday night when you both turn up with in back fours and diamonds and two up fronts and it finishes 3-0.
If that happens, I might actually watch it.
You will watch it, Tomo. I know you will, mate. I know it's been painful. And I particularly appreciate you particularly coming on and talking about it because it's a fucking brutal season, mate. At least you got more points than Derby, mate. At least you know that.
It's been brutal since lockdown and that Villa game really started then. There was definitely signs there, for sure.
It's amazing, actually, just to close on briefly, that the disconnect from football fans and their clubs over the last, you'll know about this particularly as well, Bradley, over the last 18 months, obviously been really, well, 18 months, last 12 months, been particularly difficult for many people. But the majority of clubs fail. Not many clubs win trophies and do well at the end of the season. You get more teams that are unhappy than happy. And I think it's just highlighted so much more at the moment because the fans aren't there and can't voice that. So you feel the disconnect. It's like me wanting to go to Wembley next week and not even being 100% sure if I do want to go because they're going to piss me off and annoy me anyway. So do I really want to go and experience it? But hopefully, I know for yourself, Brad, you're obviously desperate to get back to Molineux. Hopefully that time's coming soon for all of us.
The piss me off, but we don't want to miss them.
No, that's it. That's it. It basically, you can't live with them, but you can't live without them either. It's exactly
how I think they need us. That's quite a lot.
Definitely. Tom, I'm sure you'd agree with that the Blades very much missed the cop at Bramall Lane and stuff this year and that noise very much so. Bradley, Tomo, thanks very much for that. Much appreciated. Let's do some laughable correct score predictions for Saturday night now. 8:15 kickoff UK time. That's probably a bit better for you, Tomo, isn't it?
Yeah. I watch it anyway.
Prime time entertainment on for the neutral. Yeah.
To be fair, the funeral will probably be a better watch than the game, guys. We'll all be watching the funeral instead.
The Queen, that's more movement than Jose if he starts anyway. 100%. I could have said Philip, but that'd be bad, wouldn't it?
Oh. No, don't say it, Bradley. We wish Her Majesty and the Royal Family well. God bless Prince Philip. Right, Bradley, correct score prediction for Saturday night.
1-0 Wolves.
Tomo?
1-0 Sheffield United.
God, my son. Oh, God. God, my son.
Bruce
it's possible. It's possible.
Bruce is going to score.
He's wouldn't it surprise got, me.
Tomo, do you mean it?
Yeah, I think why not? I think it's going to be one. I think it'll be 1-0. I think everything I've said, but football's funny, right? And I think, James, you might hit the nail on the head once the actual relegation's done. Maybe it's just, let's just open it up, play the guys next year, change formation, just enjoy it, I guess. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm trying to be optimistic.
I'm going to go 1-0 Wolves as well. I wouldn't be that surprised if they get something, Bradley. Actually.
No, neither would I. Especially when you said the could go down that weekend. I was like, Wolves are here to give you a lifeline. Well, I do leg up.
To be honest, you're better off just getting it over and done with, Tom. I'm not saying give up and get beat at the week, but actually, they're just getting the relegation confirmed, which you know has been there for a couple of months. Just get it confirmed and then just move on. Maybe then the planning for next season will start properly.
Yeah, I think Newcastle and Brighton have to get a point. One of them do. So I don't think that'll happen. I don't see them when they go West Ham and Chelsea. I don't know. I don't think it'll be this weekend.
No, no. But West Ham need to go 3-0 up in games to give themselves a chance, and they can't keep doing it. So, Newcastle might give West Ham a problem or two on Saturday lunchtime, actually. Guys, really appreciate your time as ever. Good luck for the weekend, the rest of the season and next season. But we'll speak to you long before that comes around. You can follow Bradley at Parker_Bradley on Twitter, and you can follow Tomo at FPL_Blade. Tomorrow, we've got a special. Ricky Saunders is joining me. We're going to be talking Tottenham ahead of the double game week 32. We'll both need counselling afterwards, probably. It'll be like two mates having a chat, just depressing about our football club. Are you expecting something entertaining after this one? No. Next week's Clash of the Correspondent, we've got a Pennines derby for you. I believe it'll be next Thursday. FPL Tactician and Is My Cat Playing, previewing the game week 33 encounter between Leeds and Manchester United. But that just leaves me to say thanks again to Bradley and Tomo. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.